Blog Talk Radio.
Are you guys ready to worship out there tonight?
Good evening. Welcome to Blog Talk Radio and Doom and Christian Living Today. This is Elias Austin. Joining me, as always, for our discussion tonight is my wife, Dawn. How are you doing tonight, Dawn?
Hi, Elliot. Doing good, thank you.
It's a pleasure to be back in our home studio. Hopefully everything came across for you okay, listening to the archive last week as we were traveling through Michigan as we broadcast the show remotely.
I was laughing because it seemed like a nice, quiet spot, and then it wasn't.
Yeah. Well, hopefully the message got across in either way, but we want to thank you for joining us, and we hope that you continue to listen to us and let us know what you think about what we're doing in this ministry and how it may be affecting your life. Send us a note at faithshare@dclnetwork.org. That's faithshare@dclnetwork.org. And you can always like us on Facebook and follow us at Twitter at dclnetwork. So we hope to hear from you and let us know what you think. Give us some ideas about some other scripture verses that you may have been questioning about or just want to have further discussion on, or listen to the two of us go on trying to interpret what we have to, what we may have in mind for you. We're going to go forward today in a lesson from 1 John, but before we do, Dawn, we had a lot of experiences this week in terms of actually starting off on Sunday, where I was very thankful for the opportunity to preach last Sunday. And we started off our new worship service, our prayer service on Monday night. So maybe you want to say a word or two about that?
Well, I'm excited about it, and I'm hopeful that that more people will join us. We're offering it every Monday at 6:30. It's at Frontline. There's a building in back called the Conduit, and that is where we're located. It's a great setup. They've got room for coffee and they've got a small stage, and generally the focus is going to be on prayer for anyone who needs prayer. We are at Frontline, and that is for recovering addicts, but we know that this community has a lot of needs, so whatever you all want to bring forward, please come and join us.
Yeah, so it is open to the community, as Dawn said. You know, this came about with some personal ties and connections and trying to respond to God's word on how we are to help serve in this community. And the people at Frontline are really doing a wonderful job, and they're very faithful individuals and just are very thankful to have additional prayers for them. One of the things that we enjoy was that they have a prayer board inside the building, and we were able to take advantage of those that were seeking prayer, and their needs were laid out on calling cards, and we use that as part of our prayer message. If anybody needs and wants to be part of the prayer community, either in support of an individual or that you need for yourself, please join us at 6:30 on Monday evenings. So we're excited about where God is leading us in that ministry, and hopefully we'll see you soon. So as we get forward in tonight's discussion, we're going to move forward. Dawn, you want to talk about what song we're going to do tonight?
Yes, we're going to listen to me singing Wonderful Savior. I think it's very appropriate for this Bible verse.
All right. So let's take a listen to Dawn, and then we'll come back in our discussion.
Wonderful. Yeah.
message. Don, any further thoughts on that as now that you heard it again?
I wasn't quite sure it was over, but it is now.
It is over. It's a short version.
Oh, okay.
As we go into this discussion, we're going to be working through the first John, which is one of the epistles, the first of his epistles. Again, this is the evangelist, also known as the beloved one. One of the original 12.
What does that mean, the epistle?
Letter. It's a letter, and it's an open letter to the church, and meant really to probably be carried out by different leaders of the church and missionaries going through. What John was trying to combat at the time, it's believed, is that there was discussion going on in the church that Jesus only came in spirit form, not in body form. And John's letters is in part an attempt to bring back the clarification that Jesus came to life in the Son, and the Son and the Spirit are one and the same as through the resurrection. But that what this insight became very familiar to many people is that they believe that Jesus came to the earth as spirit only, not in body. And John's letter's attempt is to bring that back to the understanding of the truth and reality.
Did he write this to anyone in particular that you can tell?
Well, he wrote it in a thesis, but it was a general letter. And again, the intent was expected that this was something that others would carry forward back into the community and to read as a way of reinforcing his message and to try to bring the body of Christ together again in the church.
Okay. Well, this is 1 John chapter 3, verses 18 through 23. Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. This is how we know that we belong to the truth and how we set our hearts at rest in his presence. If our hearts condemn us, we know that God is greater than our hearts, and he knows everything. Dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God and receive from him anything we ask, because we keep his commands and do what pleases him. And this is his command, to believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as he commanded us.
So there's a lot in this message, but it was important as I looked at it, did not break it apart too much and try to stay whole in this specific part of his letter. To me, the first thing that I wanted to get into, and Dawn, I know you have some discussion points, so I'll allow that to get out there too, but one of the things that it points out to me is again, I'm always going to walk this line and make sure people understand that we're not talking about grace not being present and this that actions are required of anything. God's blessings and grace are given to us. But what this is through actions, it becomes something that you internalize. It's something that you can understand and start relating to the fact that you are true and you're pure and you're whole doing God's work, okay? And that brings a sense of connection to you again. And one of the things that comes forward right in the next part of the verse between 19 and 20 is that our hearts lay heavy on us. And one of the first things we talk about is forgiveness of yourself so that you can receive forgiveness from others.
Is that what they mean by your heart condemning you? Is that you're not forgiving yourself?
That's where I go to. Is your heart if you believe you're living in sin and act as though you're in sin, you're going to have that regret and that guilt carrying with you, right? So for you to have the ability to have confidence in God, you have to clear your mind and clear your thoughts that you are clean and able to move forward. And we talked a little bit about this Monday night, is that bringing our whole hearts and clearing out our hearts, come together, penitent in front of God, to release everything into his hands so it gives us confidence that we can go forward to him. And that's what this message is really about, is freeing ourselves so that we can approach God with confidence and freeing ourselves of the fear, of guilt, of the worries. So, as we get in there, if our hearts condemn us, we know that God is greater than our hearts. So immediately, John comes right back into, your heart is not at rule here. God is at rule. So allow your heart to take rest. And allow God to inhabit you, and allow God to give you peace, and allow God to give you grace. And he knows everything. So he knows, again, we talked about this often, about God knows your sins before you committed them, right? So, you know, whether you're penitent or not, God knows your sins, and when you are, he knows that you are. Anything initially come forward for you, Don?
Well, I was just thinking that how it says that then if it does, if your heart does not condemn, then you have the confidence before God. So it's kind of like the first sentence is saying, even if you don't have confidence, even if you don't believe in yourself, God still believes in you.
God believes in you, yes. And have confidence that you can trust in him, that you can come to him for everything and anything. And, you know, let me get into a couple of supporting verses that kind of frame all of that discussion. And much of this comes from other parts of 1 John, but it's very applicable. So we hear in 1 John earlier on in verse 14, we know that we have passed out of death and into life because we love the brethren. So as we love others, we know we're demonstrating God's presence within us. And when God's presence is within us, we recognize that. We have light and we have life. So that's where that verse takes me. And then earlier again in John in chapter 2, anyone who loves the brother and sister lives in the light, and there is nothing in them to make them stumble. Again, back to where I was in the previous verse. You now become, because of your actions, you're acting in the light and understand that you're acting with God's presence in you. And therefore, you cannot stumble. God will not allow you to stumble. And here in 21, verse 21 in chapter 2, I do not write to you because you do not know the truth, but because you know it and because no lie comes between you. So, you know, it's just a reminder. You know the truth. You live with the truth. You've seen Jesus' ministry. You're a part of it. You know what I've taught you. This is something that you don't know. So don't, you know, fall back to ways that were not in keeping with the teachings, right? Don, any further thoughts on that as I go through this?
I'm just still in love with verse 18. Because I think about you and I and our relationship and how much more for each other and how we raise each other up is a part of our love than necessarily big flowery speeches, though we do like cards.
Yeah, we do. There's a lot throughout this, but in verse 18, let us love with not with words or speech, but with actions and in the truth, right? Actions without being part of the truth. When what do we mean by the truth? Well, the truth is that Jesus is alive, the Spirit is within us. So living as he would, you know, acting on his behalf as part of his life within us.
Letting his actions flow through.
Exactly. And that's the beauty of it. And that's the grace that we're given, that he inhabits your heart. God and Jesus will inhabit your heart. They'll fill you with that grace and mercy so that you will want to, and you will act, and you will respond when we're called upon. Paul writes in Romans here, so whatever you believe about these things between yourself and God, blessed is the one who does not condemn himself, but what he approves. Okay? So, you know, again, this issue of, you know, your life and you taking judgment upon yourself and allow God's judgment to rule and understand that God loves you, right? And again, Paul writes, in him and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and with confidence. And I really like this issue of freedom. And we'll hear, you know, I'm going to skip on down, if you don't mind, Gil's statement here, if I can, because this issue of freedom comes out very loud and clear in his commentary. But those that love the brethren have confidence of their relationship to God. By this, they'll know their regeneration. New life, and we talked about that today in our discussion in church, this regeneration that takes place through the resurrection. We have death and resurrection, and we have forgiveness of our sins. This regeneration, this continual renewal of life all around us, and by their adoption, and so that they are children of God and can therefore draw near to God as their Father and call him so. They can come with a holy boldness of mind before him and use a freedom of speech with it. Can tell him all their mind, pour out their souls unto him, and lay before them him their case and wants. They have confidence of his power, faithfulness, and willingness to supply their need. This is God's willingness to supply their needs and fulfill all his promises to them, and that their prayers will be heard, answered, and regarded by him in his own time. I just love the way Jill summarizes that. Again, not put yourself as a peer to God, but that God wants your relationship with him to such that you have this freedom, that you can rest in him and find confidence and hope that you need to have your life have a sense of fulfillment. right? And that's so critical in our world. You know, people want to really are searching for relationships out there, and they find it in loved ones and family and friends, which is God's provision of his love for us, but also understand that the origin is God within each of us and God within you. So to not condemn yourself, but to understand that you are a child of God, walk in the abilities of God's grace among you, and just work in that truth and be a demonstration of that truth wherever you go. Comments, Don, or?
I just think that last line that Gil put in is that their prayers will be heard and answered and regarded by him in his own time. That's always so important because humans don't have much patience.
No, we all want it in our time, right? But the issue here comes to bear is that promise is going to be kept, and that's your faith, right? That you believe that it will happen even though you don't know the time. You believe God will answer the prayer, and you will accept God's provisions for if that time is today, tomorrow, years from now, or sometime way into the future, right? You know the truth, and the truth is God will answer prayers. It's just, again, for his purposes on his time, but not that your prayers are never heard, not that he's not taking action and listening to your prayers. He's working with all sorts of opportunity within you to understand how those prayers can be answered.
But what if you have a loved one that's dying and your prayers, please, don't take him? I mean, you're never going to get the answer that you want. Well, you're never going to get the answer that you want. Maybe that's it. It's not that he's not going to.
And it's not your answer. Yeah, that's just it. Isn't that the issue? It's God's will, not our will, right? But I'm also going to suggest that that's this test of faith, too. And so many people have said that, but years later, months later, even days later, come to realize the gift of their faith and the loved ones still being with them in spirit, right? Just that's the opportunity now to grow in faith, right? You expected and wanted, hoped and prayed, and we know people that, gosh, you know, this is a tough week for so many in our congregation. We have 4 losses this week, and it seems like, you know, there may have been and probably have been friends and family that they just don't take them now, like Peter pointed on. But I'm sure that God and his mercy is going to show them that there is life in heaven and their spirit will continue on and they'll feel that presence. Although absent in their day-to-day lives, they'll feel the presence of that spirit come back to life within them.
It's interesting how different people view God and what they expect from God. And then how they want to denounce him, because how can there be a God when, you know, people like John Butstein from pancreatic cancer, not a pleasant way to go. Carla's mom with dementia and the hardship that in itself, the burden that put on the whole family. And yet she was forever faithful. So was John. So was his wife. What makes it for them that they can reach to God and find solace and not be mad at him? I mean, I think
a lot of people will go through those kind of experiences and be mad. But also understand that God is, you know, strong enough to handle that too, right? Is to give, again, it goes back to this issue of freedom. You know, when we talk about having this freedom of speech means arguing also with God. Lord, I just don't get this. Why are you doing this to me? Look what happened with Job. Why all is coming down upon him? Having that courage and confidence, but never losing sight that he is still with you, right? And it's almost a healthy situation to where you go back and you have that discussion with God as opposed to keeping it in and turning your back to God, right? Go face to face with him. Lay it all out. Let him see where he's going to take you afterwards. Like, get that emotion out, get that anger out. I think that could be a very healthy thing.
What's interesting is the folks that deny God because how could there be a God if seem like the same people that are just really angry at God because why is there all this pain in the world? And, you know, that they're so passionate about it that there has to be some belief in there or because otherwise who are they mad at?
True, true. But we touched a little bit on this, too, today. And we're talking about, again, this issue of regeneration. I think the fact that the world still exists today is proof that God exists, okay? Because we see, absolutely to your point, look at what we're doing in the world. Look at the hatred. Look at the wars. Look at what we've done to the earth. Look at everything we destroyed when it's left up to us, right? But the fact that we can stand here today, that the world still is revolving, the sun still is coming up in the east and setting in the west, is an issue of regeneration and showing that God's presence is still active. And I just have to believe that because the world exists, despite everything that we've done to it, despite our own sins, despite our own nature to go to war, to do battle, to not act as Jesus has commanded us to do and love one another, that this is regeneration that happens every day that's going on around us. So you can, you know, look at the glass half full or half empty, or maybe it's best to look at it half and half anyhow, because understanding that you can't continue, if it's so bad, we would have destroyed ourselves 7 times over by now. So that must tell you that there's hope, because we do exist and we are moving forward.
And there's so much good and positive things that do happen in the world, too. Why would God have wanted us to have this life on Earth if there wasn't going to be opportunities for some positive growth also, you know?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. So I hope this is a good message for you out there. I hope this makes some sense to you. Dawn, before we start to wrap up, is there anything in addition in this that you want to cover?
I just wanted you to pray one more time for our friends that have loved ones that passed. It was quite a horrific week in terms of people's losses.
Yeah, you know, we have many out there that are suffering. So why don't we go ahead and just let us pray. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks right now for the gift of life that you've given to us and the people that have blessed us, that have cared for us and just nurtured us in parts of our lives. They've given so much to this world. And Lord, we give you great thanks for the fact that they were present here to make a difference, to show your love to others. Now for all those that are in grief and mourn, for those that have passed on, now that are sitting by your side, let all be strengthened by the grace and mercy of Jesus Christ. Through his resurrection, we know that life will continue on with you and that our loved ones are by your side and that we too will stand side by side with you together as one family. But as these days move forward, Lord, we know it's going to be a struggle. And we know that there's going to be doubt, and we know there's going to be fear, and we know there's going to be anger. But, Lord, behind it all, we know you're rising up angels. We know you're bringing forward people to comfort and guide. And we know that you're looking after them and wanting them to be whole again and will give them that opportunity in their time and in your time. So right now, Heavenly Father, we just ask for your mercy to be upon them. Strengthen them with all of the capabilities of the people and the church as they gather around to support them. Let them feel your presence actively and not to believe, Lord, that there is nothing further for them, but let them know that the future exists where all is made whole. Once again, in the name of your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and by his death and his resurrection, has overcome death for all of us, and we know we have an eternity with you. We ask this in his name.
Amen.
Amen. So, again, we want to hear from you. We hope that you listen to the show. Help us get that archive link out as we pass that through email as well as through the newsletter. And, again,
yeah,
I look forward to that newsletter.
If you've got faithful friends and you like what you've been seeing, please go ahead and send it out to them or send us their emails and we'll add them to the mailing.
Absolutely. And we're now posting that newsletter through Twitter. We're posting that newsletter as well up on our our Facebook page. So you can share that link, help spread the message and get that out in any way you feel comfortable with and any way you feel can be helpful to others. And with that, I think we're gonna say good evening for tonight. Dawn, anything in closing? Yeah, good evening. A little Alfred Hitchcock, good evening. Yeah, no, not quite. But anyhow, it's a blessing to be with you every Sunday. Keep us in your prayers as we move forward to extend our ministry work. And look to help the people that come forward at Frontline, as well as anybody in the community that joins us on Monday evenings. It's exciting to be part of the Lord's work, and hopefully we'll see some of you there.
Bye now.
Have a blessed week.
Woo!
Are you guys ready to worship our destiny? I know you know the song. Open the eyes.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you.
Come on, let's go.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you.
To see you high.
To see you high.
Yeah, open the eyes of my heart. I want to see.